He was named the nicest man in Britain by the Daily Mail after his much-acclaimed good deed diary came to public attention when he decided to do a good deed every day for a year back in 2014. From there, he secured the nicest job in Britain, where he got the chance to join a different charity each week and use his skills and knowledge to help them. Here to tell us about this amazing journey and about the nicest job in Britain is Luke Cameron. Hello, Luke. Welcome to the show.
Hello, afternoon.
Oh, it's great to have you on. You've had a pretty busy and exciting year. Let's rewind a few steps, Luke, if we can.
Okay.
You first came to my attention, at least, a couple of years ago when I read about your good deed diary. Tell us how this whole journey began for you.
Well, it's been a crazy journey. That's all I can say. We'll rewind and we'll go back to 2013, which seems like an age away now, when I lost somebody very close to me from cancer. And it was that wake-up call and that kind of understanding that I'd lost someone very close, and it was the first time I'd lost somebody from death and was there and had witnessed it, that it really shook me to my core. And I decided to do something about it, and instead of setting up a fundraising page or a charity, or I thought, I'm going to do something which can resonate with lots of people. So I decided to very crazily set up a blog called The Good Deed Diary, where I vowed and committed to do a random act of kindness or a good deed every single day for 365 days. And set it up on New Year's Eve, ready to go in the new year, and 3 or 4 weeks in it went viral, and my life changed completely from there. And that was that journey and going through that whole year, and then decided to keep going and work with more charities, because obviously what I was doing was expanding, and the people I was interacting with were mainly charity-based, so did some volunteering, and then somebody posted a link to a job called The Nicest Job in Britain on my blog and said that I should apply. So I had a look, and it was basically a company were offering to pay somebody to travel around the country for a whole year, and from there they wanted to pay them to help 45 charities in a year. So I thought, it sounds perfect. It's almost what I'm doing already. So I applied and went through the whole process and ended up winning the job. And then The Nicest Job in Britain started on the 1st of January 2015. And my new journey began, and I spent all of last year travelling around the whole of the UK.
Yes.
Helping 45 charities.
Let's talk about that, because you took up the role of National Philanthropy Manager.
Yes.
I think the title was for nicestjobs.com, and The Nicest Job in Britain is this charity campaign, which basically meant you travelled all over the country over the course of a year, as you said. Just give us a picture. What did that entail?
Sure. So it was everything and anything, really. So I worked with some incredible charities, from Great Western Air Ambulance and the Donkey Sanctuary through to Help for Heroes and Welsh Mountain Zoo. So basically every week I would be with a different charity. So on the Monday I would start at a different organization. I would go in, I would have a plan beforehand from the charity, but it would be basically whatever the charity wanted me to do for a week. So there were some weeks when I would volunteer and go out and be a volunteer. There were other weeks where, like the Welsh Mountain Zoo, I was a zookeeper for the week. Help for Heroes, I prepared and cycled 100 miles with their team to raise money for them and raise awareness. I got to train and cuddle guide dogs. I got to set up large national fundraising events. Everything that you can think of, I did in a year. So every week was a new job, every week was a new team, every week was a new adventure, and I did that for 45 weeks.
That's amazing. So as you said, you worked on the ground as a volunteer.
Yes.
Right from up to their head offices, on their charity campaigns themselves. As you say, you walked and you trained.
Yes.
You've done a whole spectrum of different things. And I was just thinking, Luke, now, human nature being what it is, if someone's brought in to effectively troubleshoot in any type of company, they can be met with a degree of maybe resentment, perhaps.
Yes.
Defensiveness, a sense of possibly feeling criticised even. How did you navigate around that fear that some charities or individuals may have had about someone coming in and effectively telling them how to improve their work?
Yeah, it was really interesting. I didn't, if I'm honest, I didn't really experience too much resentment or difficulties. Everybody that we worked with and we partnered with was so open and embracing, and it was so wonderful to see. I've always worked in the private sector, and going to the third sector, in the charity sector, and realising how open, with something that doesn't happen in the private sector, but in the charity sector it's very different. And as I started progressing through my year and started working with and experiencing different charities on different levels, with different income streams, a lot of the teams and the senior leadership teams and the chief executives were interested in my insight in the charity sector, because I'd either been with their competitors, or I'd been with somebody they admired, or I'd experienced something that they hadn't done. So it kind of became a consultancy role in the end. But it was just, it was fantastic to be able to just use that experience and that knowledge to help as many organisations and people as I could, really.
So you said that it was very much a sharing and best kind of practice ethos. Very collaborative, it sounds like to me. But how did you actually prepare for this epic experience? Could you prepare for something like this?
Oh, wow, no. No, I didn't. You can't prepare for something like this. You just have to have a can-do, yes attitude. So I went into last year as the National Philanthropy Manager saying, I will not say no. Unless, you know, there's something that's going to harm me. I had the attitude every single day I woke up, okay, this is a yes day. So whatever is thrown at me, I will say yes. I will learn about whether I loved it, didn't like it, enjoyed it, didn't enjoy it, but it's an experience, so I'm just going to get my hands dirty and do it. I mean, to be honest, there were days when I lugged 25 hay bales up a hill, which was hard graft, but then you're stood alongside volunteers who are doing that the same thing as you, so you know, you just muck in and you get done with it. But then there were other days when I was very privileged to be, you know, feeding spider monkeys and you know, in a vet being performing surgery on a snow leopard, and you just think this is an experience that most people would never experience in their life.
It sounds absolutely epic. I do love that philosophy that you just mentioned, don't say no and have a yes day. I think that's something we could all live by. And you've touched on some of the things there and just how different it all was.
Yeah.
It can't all have been fabulous. What were the challenges that you faced specifically? What did you learn about yourself even on this journey?
Sure. I mean, being away from home was difficult because obviously I was all over the country. The travelling was quite difficult because some days I would, or some weeks I would have travelled hundreds and hundreds of miles between different sites and meeting different people and different volunteers and that kind of thing. When the charities were smaller, they didn't have big national premises. There were difficulties. There were difficulties in understanding, you know, getting your head around all of the different causes and the campaigns and week on week starting a new job. I think the most difficult thing for me was saying goodbye to people that I got so friendly with and so close to, and meeting, basically I had new colleagues every week, and it was really difficult to say goodbye on the Thursday, because the Friday I would write the blog. So the Thursday was my last day with the charity, and I always found it really emotional. There was lots of tears, and you know, I cried quite a lot last year in the most random of places, because I got so overwhelmed by things that it would just come out in the most unusual situations. I remember crying in the middle of a guide dog presentation in front of 100 people for no reason whatsoever. It wasn't an emotional presentation. I'd just been overwhelmed by my week. But it was, I wouldn't change it for the world, to be honest.
And it sounds like sort of the best temp job going, really, week on week doing something amazing.
Absolutely.
Amazing. And as you say, I mean, the travelling must have been arduous and being away from home must have been, but it more than compensated, didn't it, for the experience that you had. So the hunt is on for your successor, sad as it is for you. And the main sponsor of this year's campaign is Givergy. I don't know if I've pronounced that right.
Givergy.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
That's all right. It's Givergy.
Tell us a little bit about them. Who are they and how do they work?
Sure. So when last year was sponsored by a company called UA, and this year we decided to take the campaign on ourselves. So we wanted to find a new corporate sponsor who would be in line with what we were doing. So Givergy are an online auction-based platform for the charity sector. So they're kind of like eBay, but they work in raising money for the charity sector for once-in-a-lifetime gifts. So win tickets to go and meet Elton John, or, you know, a kind of a trip to Monaco, or, you know, Harry Potter tickets before it opened, that kind of thing. So they have two sides. They have the online auction platform, and then they have a they have an event side where they set up auctions for charities, and they work with really big charities like Cancer Research, and they use iPads and Kindles to take silent auctions, and it all goes through their system, and it's all very, very clever. But they work already in the sector. They're committed to making a difference. They've already raised £25 million to date since they've been running. And for us, it was a no-brainer, really, because what we do and what we're trying to do and how they can help fundraise and give charities the exposure online is it's a marriage made in heaven, really. So working with GiveG is the perfect collaboration. I'm so happy to be working with them, and they can add so much to what we're doing.
They've actually worked with over 1,200 charitable causes in 2015 alone, I understand. So your time as brand ambassador is almost up. You're now leading the search for your successor. What sort of candidate are you looking for?
Now, we get lots of questions about this because obviously the application process is open at the moment. So if you want to go on and register and submit your video, you're welcome to. But I have got lots of emails over the past couple of weeks. And it's my response is always, if you're looking for an exciting challenge, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and you're the type of person who has a can-do attitude, then go for it. Because hands down, this will change your life like it changed mine. And these type of opportunities don't come around very often. So if you want to, if you're passionate about people and passionate about helping others and causes, and you want to get paid £30,000 to travel around the country and help people, then I can't see a better way to do it, really.
Well, you've sold it to me, but the practicalities of it, if we just explain to people, basically they have to record a 60-second video showcasing why they're the best person for the job, don't they?
So our organisation, Nicest Jobs, as well as Nicest Job in Britain, we only recruit people through video. So you have to record a 60-second video of why you deserve the Nicest Job in Britain. And that is open now on nicestjobinbritain.co.uk. And we advise people to make it as high energy as possible. I mean, we've had people that have hired professional film companies to film their videos, and then we've had people that have filmed it on their iPhone. You know, so the whole wide spectrum is there, but make it passionate, make it full of energy, you know, and really convince not only us but everybody else why you deserve it, because to get through to the next round, it's all vote based. So the voting opens on the 16th of September, and we're taking the top 8 candidates with the highest votes and social media sharing through. So it's not only recording the video, you've got to make sure that you're getting all your friends and family behind you to vote for you so you go through to the next round.
Okay, and just to make that clear to listeners, that their application has to be submitted before the 16th of September.
Yeah, so voting opens on the 16th.
Yep.
It closes on the 23rd of September. So you could upload a video on the 22nd, but the chances of getting votes compared to somebody who's uploaded their video when the voting opens on the 16th. So you have to weigh it up. So if you're interested, take a look today, really, because voting opens on the 16th.
Okay, sure, got that. Luke, I bet you're going to enjoy being at home a little bit more than you have been in the last year, and maybe catch up with a few TV box sets, I don't know. But what's the next chapter going to be for you now?
So the interesting thing is, after travelling around the country, we realised that we were kind of advocating and being almost an ambassador for working in the charity sector and volunteering. But it's quite difficult for charities to recruit volunteers at the moment. So we set up a company called Nicest Jobs, where we actively help charities find staff and volunteers, and that's through video. So we showcase all the charities through video, and you apply for a role through video through our website. So I now run that company, and I'm also heading up Nicest Job in Britain. So I will be managing the National Philanthropy Manager, but also with me and my team, we also run a company that help find staff and volunteers for the charity sector. So we're very busy, got lots of great clients, but it's a way of us organically growing. It was almost natural. I think we work with over 300 now. And every morning I wake up and know that we make a difference to some organisation or some person in the country. So it's been an incredible 3 years.
Wow. Luke, what a success story. All the best.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck with the next step. Thank you so much. Sounds like you're going to be pretty busy. Thank you so much for talking to
and
me
thank
today.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That was Luke Cameron from Nicest Job in Britain. And the hunt is now on to find the next person to travel the country and help charities from small locals to large nationals. It's open to everyone in Britain. So come on, let's make the winner be someone in Surrey, maybe. All you need to do is record a 60-second video showcasing why you're the best person for the job. Then go to nicestjobinbritain.co.uk/thejob and submit your application before the 16th of September 2016. Last thing I need to say is good luck.